Good morning.
Good morning.
Have we had a good week here this week?
Yeah.
We have anything to celebrate?
Yes.
Well, let's celebrate today. Amen.
Amen.
Thought we'd give John a chance to share something of the Lord.
Thank you. Praise God. What I feel led to talk about today is my experience being here with this ministry, because I've come and gone a number of times, twice. And I joined the ministry, I think, in 1992. And I was involved in the tent ministry, going out on the road, and also with Eagle Radio Network when it started. And my children were living with their mother, who was rather dysfunctional person the first time I left the ministry, and they were begging me to come home and help them out. I have this, my youngest child, who I call my wild child, and she was into all kinds of things I don't even know. I don't want to know, I guess. And the responsibility of parenting them was basically left up to my oldest daughter. She had been parenting them, I think, since she was 12 years old, which is too much responsibility for her. So, like a coward that I am, I did not go to Davey and ask his advice in this situation, because I wanted to leave and go home and be with my children. I prayed to God for months to give me an opportunity where I could leave the ministry where I knew he wanted me, go home and be with my children. And finally an incident occurred where I felt in myself justified in leaving, and left and went back to be with my family. And of course, instead of letting God deal with the problem, I tried to deal with the problem and couldn't. And finally there came that point where I knew there was nothing I could do with this, particularly this child of mine. And Davey wanted me to come down to Somerville to be with him, and I finally just threw my hands up and said, I'm out of here. So I went down and rejoined the ministry. And then I went again up into New England, and we were going to have some tent revivals up there. I was involved in that. And the Lord, after I gave up seeking a wife, I think I went 11 years without a wife. And Lord finally gave me one. I met her up there and came down and went back and moved up to New Hampshire. And being a Vermonter, I enjoyed the cold weather so much that I knew there was something better, and I lasted about a year up there and moved down to South Carolina. And things were going pretty well. I was in the ministry, started a Bible study. Things were going well, and they came up with a new website. And Davey told me to go ahead and look at it. Now I'm tithing, doing all that I thought I should be doing in the Lord. And I looked at it, and I saw all the ministers listed, all the licensed ministers listed, all the Christian workers listed, even friends of the ministers listed, but nowhere was my name present there. So I, of course, was called Davey up and said, this must be an oversight. Now, I didn't do that. I got angry. My pride was hurt. So I thought eventually I would cool down, you know, and be reasonable. But the more I thought about it, the more angry I got. So I just said nothing, left the ministry again. Like a good follower of Christ, obviously. And the thing I've learned about this, and eventually I think Davey's told the story about how I came back, where I bought this house and there was a demon in there that I could not cast out. I realized I needed help. So the only way I knew how to contact Davey was post a message on Facebook to him. And then when I got that call from him on Paul's phone, of course, I answered him appropriately and said, hey, ugly, how's it going? And then I found out I was talking to Davey instead of ugly. So I was embarrassed. But I thought he was answering my message, but no, it wasn't that. In a dream, he had seen that I was calling for help. And so he came up, got rid of my problem that I couldn't get rid of. And I came back in the ministry. Well, the Lord wants me. The Lord has clearly shown me that I deserve to be in this ministry. No, I don't deserve it. But this is where he wants me, clearly showing me that. And the lesson I've learned here is it's not about me. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's about serving him. I've determined in my heart, as I hope you have, that it's all about him. He's big enough to take care of us. And he knows better how to take care of you than you do. Okay? That's all I have to say.
We can be like that sometimes, can't we, John? But the fact of the matter is, one of the things we can't begrudge one another, the way the Lord brings us to the place where things become clear to us. You know, I mean, you look at that thief on the cross. Turn it up. Okay. You look at that thief on the cross. I mean, it crystallized for him when he was on that cross that day. Is anybody going to begrudge him? I mean, praise God, it was crystallized for him that day. And I believe this week things have been crystallized for some people. I'm hoping to God that's what's been the case. And, you know, as Davey has said, when you go forth from here, you're going to be tried in this. See, one of the things about here, when we look around here, do you see friends or do you see foes? You actually see family. We're brothers and sisters. And if we're acceptable one another to the Lord, then is there any basis for us not being acceptable to one another? So here we have that safety, and amongst one another we have friends. But when we go out there, and I say this to all of us, but I mean, you know, I want to say something to the women here for a moment, because Davey's talked about the spirit that you get is the Holy Spirit, which is a male spirit, and that Holy Spirit fights. Okay? The feminine spirit tends to try to avoid fighting in many ways. They're always trying to make things over so they don't, unless there's a cat fight, in which case, woo. But in the other instances, I've seen some good cat fights, man. I could tell you about a couple that you guys would laugh at. I won't go into it right now, but praise God. I won't go any further. The issue I just want to say is in that fight is that the hindrances. You know, we sing that song, Casting Every Hindrance Aside. Those things that hold you back, you have to be angry at. Furious. I mean, just with a holy fury against those things, so that you will not give them any place. We sang that song in Making War in the Heavenlies. It has a line in it, we will not bow our knees to the prince of the air. Okay, we're supposed to be kind one to another, right? But to the prince of the air, are we supposed to be kind? No. We supposed to give him any place whatsoever? No. So what happens is you're going to have to change your attitude. It's like light and darkness. You know, the way it is in the Lord is when you're ministering his light, the gospel, for example, and you're hanging out with one another, that's light. When you start seeing that devil come up, ooh. I mean, you use light to make that darkness flee. Don't hear me wrong, but it is a radically different attitude. A radically different attitude. An attitude of a holy fury that you aren't going to give him any place. Period. You're going to be stomping around and treading on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and you're not going to be very nice at all. And so I just share that with you because you can't be afraid to be that way if you're going to win. If you're going to win, you can't be afraid to be that way. So that's all I got to say. We can play another song. Maybe anybody got something they want to share? Here you go, Rick. Go ahead.
I've been itching for this opportunity. Thank you, Steve. There's two verses I want to share with you guys. It's two verses I want to share with you guys. That work?
Yes.
Awesome. Just one-handed thing. Brad, how do you do it?
It's amazing. Practice.
Yeah. All right, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. When we go out of here, guess what? There's going to be all kinds of things, as we've been told, to try us. And there are things that in our lives that have in the past easily beset us. Right? No more. Amen. No more. There's another verse in James that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? There's a lot of stuff before that. I don't want to go into that today. But it says resist the devil. When I think of a resistance, I think of, you know, there's a lot of evil around us. You know, if you look back in a war situation, the resistance wasn't something that was half-hearted. I mean, these people bled to see victory. I mean, they fought. I mean, you may call it fighting dirty. I think it's fighting with everything you got any way you can to win. I mean, it is a resistance. It is a, I mean, it's not passive. Goes on here and says, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was, so was the joy that was set before him. Us in the kingdom, absolutely, amen. You know, think of the things that we are called to endure. And if you look at that, if you fixate on that, you get discouraged. Right? You can. But if you look unto Jesus, what was it that kept him going? I mean, it was the redemption of mankind. It was him knowing that him completing that work, finishing that work on the cross, meant our salvation. Though by one man's sin all were condemned, right? But by one man's obedience, many could be made righteous. That was the joy that was set before him. That's our joy set before us. Amen? What we may have to endure means somebody's going to hear the gospel. Praise God. They will have the chance to know Jesus. That's worth it. And God's good because Jesus may not have seen the fullness when he was hanging on that cross dying, did he? I mean, he knew it or he wouldn't have gone and done it. But God's good to us because he lets us see the fruit of our labor. He lets us see the fruit of our endurance. I can look around this room and I see fruit of Dad's endurance. I see fruit of Steve's endurance, Paul's endurance, Robin's endurance. I see fruit. If we look back and we think of the things we had to endure, the hardness that we had to go through, but then we see the fruit. Isn't it worth it? Amen. Isn't it all worth it? So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint, where? In your mind. Where is the battle? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. The fight's in our minds. What will we choose? What will we choose? Now, one other verse, and then I'll be quiet. Maybe two, three other verses, but one other passage. Psalms. And we've talked a little bit about delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. I want to back up just a few verses. This is one of my favoriteest, most awesomest passages of the Bible to me. Psalms 37. Fret not. Boy, couldn't we just stop right there? Dad used to say, don't sweat the small stuff. Fret not. We talk about those things that doth so easily beset us, right? Isn't the fretting what doth so easily beset us? The what if? The maybes? The how is this gonna? It's all unbelief. Fret not. Right there. You want victory? Fret not. Fret not thyself because of who? Evildoers. Fret not. Fret not. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Look at verse 3. It's all right here. Look at this. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Fret not. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then there's nothing that can beset you. What is there to beset you if you fret not? You trust in the Lord and you do good. And here's the promise. My eyes will focus. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What does Jesus say over in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the Bible is one word. It's one Jesus. Old, new, it's all the same Jesus. You can open it up and you're going to see Jesus. Fret not. Trust the Lord and do good. You'll be victorious. I'm done, Steve.
Rick, when you talked about the fullness, you know, Jesus hung on a cross and he's asked us to go tell people so it is profitable. He did it, and that's what he's asked us to do, go and bring it, that those who he died for can enter in. He died for them, and that is our job, is to now bring that gospel.